Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We were in the market outside the cathedral, and we had just had a Glühwein, and then as we were leaving, the large truck came through. It went just past me, past my girlfriend. I think it missed me by 3 metres, missed her by 5. It came in through the entrance, hit the sides of the barriers, and then carried on past us.
That is a witness to what took place earlier tonight in Berlin as a giant truck, what we consider an 18-wheeler here. They call them lorries over there, smashed into a Christmas market, a crowded Christmas market, as here we are just a few days away from Christmas. People out doing their last-minute shopping, and it was in a suburb of Berlin so far. 9 confirmed dead and 50-plus injured. People are saying the truck itself did not slow down, was going about 40-plus miles an hour, very reminiscent of what took place in Nice in July when 89 people were killed. Horrible, horrible situation, horrible scene. And again, it just goes to show you, you know, how blessed we are, because I am still, you know, at times kind of shocked that it doesn't happen more, you know? I mean, you don't need a lot to, as you see, to cause mayhem. You do not need a lot to cause mayhem. And while they haven't confirmed, every source out there has said that this is an act of terrorism, you know, then all of a sudden you also had the Russian ambassador who represents Russia in Turkey gunned down tonight. Just a horrible night. It is a horrible night, horrible scene. But, you know, one person posted on the Facebook when I talked about it. Who cares? It's far away. And that's the way everybody feels. We can't stop living our lives like, you know, you got to live your life out of fear. You can't do that. But this is, you know, ISIS is inspiring people to do what they can for their cause. And while these people think that they're doing the right thing, A, they're not. And B, you know, ISIS isn't celebrating their deaths. They're celebrating the injuries, the wounded, and the deaths of the people that are killed by these acts. That's it. They could care less about you. They could care less. You are just a small itty-bitty spoke in their giant wheel of whatever's going on. You are a speck. They don't care. They don't. It's a horrible situation. Is what it is. Again, terrorism. This is unfortunately for the West, the new norm. And unfortunately, we have to get used to it, and it will not be the first time, you know, the last time I talk about it, just like it's not the first time I've talked about it. And we will talk about it in 2017, and we will talk about it in 2018, and we will talk about it in 2019. You see where I'm going with this? It is not going anywhere anytime soon. One man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, is the way a lot of people look at it. And these people think that they're fighting for some sort of freedom, and the funny thing is they're fighting for an oppressive culture is what they're really fighting for. They're fighting for an oppressive culture. I want to oppress you, and this is what you get. This is what you're going to get. So not much else you can say. Horrible situation. And again, they've inspired. They talked about it earlier this year to use anything that you have. No matter what it is, use cars, use trucks, mow people down. We saw it, just a couple weeks ago in The Ohio State, you know, where you got a guy who ran into some people and then took out a knife wielding it before an officer finally took him down. They're going to use what they have. And when them going as rogue as it is, it's going to be tougher for them to put something together and for us to put something one and one together and to stop somebody who is literally acting as their own, not conversing, just being inspired. Not conversing, which is what you'd see when you're talking to a group of people about a giant attack, but instead just being inspired enough to go, I'm going to go do this. And the Western cultures better recognize, And when Trump talked about it, so funny the way that they spun the words of Trump that, you know, this is he hates all Muslims and they shouldn't come here. I am for a moratorium for a while until we can get something that we all feel comfortable with in vetting these people. Not I say so, so let's just let it be. That to me is not something that works for me. I'm sorry. And I think the Western cultures and the Western countries need to get together and say, you know what? We need to build something that we can put here, that we can protect people and keep it over here until we can know as sure as we will ever know about somebody. Well, they're just old men and young, you know, old men and women with their little kids. Again, we've seen what women are capable of doing. Do we not remember San Bernardino last year? I think if we're smart, it's what we do. Again, it's not about hating somebody. It's about loving yourself enough to know that you have to do what's right for your culture, for your people, for your country. Because I don't want you to come here isn't because I don't know 100% who you are and I hate you for who you are. It's just we're not bringing one individual over at a time. We're bringing many. And it only takes one. It only takes one person to do something like this. And then what happens is the culture itself starts to push back. And that's not good. You're seeing that in Germany right now. The culture itself is pushing back. It's pushing. And the one thing to do now with Merkel and open borders and all of this stuff, they're pushing back on her. We've had enough. Time to move on. You want us to get rid of our culture. You want us to get rid of all of this stuff. You want us to be open and inclusive, yet we've got to change everything for them. Sorry, doesn't work that way. And you're going to find that more and more and more as we move forward. Cultures themselves. And that's what Trump spoke about. It's a culture clash. I've talked about it for, God, since I've started my show, I've talked about the fact, yes, religion is a part of it, but it's also a massive culture clash. God-fearing Muslims who care about their religion understand that these people are psychos, but you need to lead the screaming, the yelling, the shouting, and the fighting to slow this down. And in many countries, you are. But you also have to be vocal in a lot of these other countries and understand where the fear comes from when this is what we see. You want us to understand you. Well, you need to understand what we see and hear. It's a two-way street. This is where conversation goes. People don't like that. Makes them uncomfortable. Because we may point out some things that they don't want to hear. Even though they may know, even though they probably do know, they still don't want to hear it, let alone from somebody else. But this is what we have to do. And we're just being smart. And there's nothing wrong with being smart. It's so funny. If we say we're going to, you know, if we say we're going to do something for people around the world, if we say we're going to put a new army base and we're going to make sure that this country's not protected. Oh, my God, we could spend that money elsewhere here in America. But we say, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to protect our country by maybe figuring out a way that we can all agree with that will help us vet these people better. Oh, you're just a racist now. We can care. We can want to eventually find a way to get them here in the best way possible. We can be open-minded. But you know what we can't afford to do is be stupid. That's it. We're in the middle of a culture war with a group that wants to live like it's the 6th century, is oppressive, can't stand anything that has to do with Western ideas or freedom, wants to rule with an iron fist. That's what we have to face. And they're going to push the envelope everywhere they can. And they're going to use our kindness and our soft underbelly to get themselves into position to hurt us. And we just have to be smart. It's not about hating who you are. It's not about the fact that you worship a different, you know, in a different way than we do. It's not about any of those things. It's about the fact that we have to be smart. You protect your own in this situation. And it's not just protecting your own when it comes to specifically people. It's also protecting your own when it comes to things like culture and who we are. Whether you're German or you're French or you're English or wherever you are, you're Belgian or you're an American. You should be proud of who you are in your country. You shouldn't have to change everything to make somebody else who's come into your country, who says they want to be a part of your culture, we don't have to change everything to their culture. No, if you've come here and you want to be here, then you should be here as an American. I'm not telling you who you should worship. I'm not telling you what you have to watch. I'm not telling you what you have to believe. But what I'm telling you is I'm going to do those things. And if you're offended by them, that's on you. Because this is my country too. And I'm allowed to do these things. And this is where the issue is going to come. The rubber's meeting the road here, kids. It is. Merkel's seeing it. The French are seeing it. Hollande has seen it for sure. You've got the rise of the super alt-right in a lot of these places because they are done. And it's not just the people that were always alt-right. You're finding progressives and middle-of-the-road people who are fed up with seeing their culture and the things that they enjoy being twisted and turned and reshaped to fit others' needs while they're inside their home. You've come to my house and I got to change this? Wow. Thank you very much. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We do it this hour, every day, same time. It's called What's Next. We're going to look at mental health. We've got some crazy things here, and something I found out this weekend, that when I read the article, I had to read it 3-4 times because I just didn't quite get it. But it's scary out there in the workforce. Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next for mental health? Look, this country has, you know, I don't want to say it's an, and not everything is an epidemic, okay? Not everything is an epidemic, but we definitely have a need and a want, I think, to reshape our mental health. You know, when Los Angeles County Jail, when we have this Los Angeles County Jail, right, it's this massive jail, this giant thing, they call them the Twin Towers out here in L.A., huge. That is the largest mental health facility in the country. We have to re-look at the way that we treat mental health in this country. We have to. You know, Reagan started tearing it apart. I'll throw it out there. I'll say it. Reagan did. Reagan started tearing it apart, but nobody else has done anything outside of that, right? I mean, it's not like the Democrats were all over it. We need to figure out what we're going to do with mental health going forward because we have issues in this country. Last week, what was the article about? One in every six Americans in the last 3 years has either been on or is currently on some sort of antidepressant, whether it be Valium or you know, I don't know what all these things are. I mean, there's so many of them. Yeah. You know, Effexor or, you know, whether it's something for depression or something, you know, lithium. I mean, it's like, wow, that's crazy. It's insane. But we have to re-look and rechart a course when it comes to mental health. We do. There's more stresses to life. Life is now 24/7. You remember when you were growing up, if you're around my, again, tomorrow I'll be 46 years old. And when you were growing up, it's like once my dad was and mom were home, that was it. Life was done. Do you know what I mean? Life was over. You didn't know what was going on outside of the world. You're inside, you're watching TV, you're talking with the family. And again, that didn't happen much. Because my dad wasn't always around. It was my mom. She was working a lot. But life seemed to end at like 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. You were done with school. The minute you got in from home, you were done for the day. Life is not that. Life is 24/7 now. We're more stressed than ever. In fact, this is what I found to be, this was alarming. One in eight pilots have reported not only being depressed, whether it being fear of being grounded or losing their job, they refuse to be treated. But one in eight of them have essentially said they've had suicidal thoughts. And if you think back to the Germanwings cockpit and that crazy pilot who decided that he was going to take everybody with them in the Swiss Alps, it makes you scratch your head. But I think because of the pressure of life nowadays, keeping up with the Joneses has never been more important. You used to compete with your neighbor. Now you have to compete with your friends on Facebook and all throughout social media. Life is far more stressful than it's ever been. And depression has become something that we need to talk about. That's why we need to really look at how we treat mental health in this country. And if you live in a somewhat big city, you see what's going on out there. You see there are areas that are just littered. Over the weekend, we had our Christmas party, and I was talking to a radio exec here. And we were talking about this facility that they're at, and that as they went into this new facility, there were homeless people at an encampment in the back. And some of them were just out of their mind, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what we do. Our thing is now we release them when they're not in their right mind and they shouldn't be released. We must relook at mental health. We must have a new course of action. Like a lot of things that we've done, we tried, but we failed. And when you acknowledge you have failed is when you could start to rebuild and start to do and chart a different course that will have some success involved, whether it be the war on drugs or whatever it is. We've got to admit that we have not done right, and mental health is an issue, and at least it's out of the shadows. But we do have to have a revisit and start a new course of action that's going to help people rather than demonize them. That's what's next for mental health. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Text the show 323-538-2423. Whiteness in college, and Obama said it, but so did I. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. You know, Jack and I had a long conversation as we were driving in today. And if you listen to my show, I try to put myself in positions as best that I possibly can of other people. Right? I've said all along, I don't believe in white privilege. I do believe in, you know, there is definitely some benefits, white benefits, if you will. Driving while white is much better than driving while black. Shopping while white is much better than shopping while black. Let's not pretend that it's not. If you say, oh, you're lying, Chad, just slow your roll. We've seen it over and over again. I'm a statistics guy. I see the statistics. They're almost the same, white to black, as far as getting pulled over and what's inside of the car. The difference is a black person is pulled over far more. And I look at my country and where we've come from, and I know we have work to do, and we'll get there as good as we're going to get. There's always going to be bias in the world. I don't care how much we try to get rid of bias and racism or whatever it is. There's always going to be some bias in this world. That's it. And everybody's got bias. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your sexuality is. I don't care about any of those things. Every human being on earth has a bias of some sort. There you go. That's it. Now, we hyper-focus on race, but beautiful people want to date beautiful people, right? Some people like tall people. Some people like short people. Some people like really thin. Some people like people with tattoo. I mean, we all have some sort of little bias towards something else, whatever it is. That's it right there. I mean, look at Boston and New York. They have bias toward one another, right? They have disdain for one another. Boston, New York. But it's little things. We don't care about those so much. We don't hyper-focus on them. But race is one of those things that we do focus on. And I'm driving to work today, and I have Jack in the back of the car. And I sit there and I think to myself, how blessed am I? And how blessed is Jack? I mean, here's a kid, and I've posted pictures of him every once in a while, and I've got some on there today. He's here running around. We might bring him on a little bit later, ask him what, you know about Santa Claus and whatnot. But here's a kid who he doesn't realize how blessed his life is. Got two parents that love him. He's got massive support system around everywhere in his life. Grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and friends. I mean, Jack's roaming around here today. He's the king. Everybody here high-fiving Jack, loving on Jack. It's great. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm sure there's a few other little boys and girls out there that are blessed like this and then some. But there's also, I was thinking to myself, if he's black, what's his life like? Am I in it? Am I around? I think it's a fair question to ask. That's why I say open your mind a little bit. That's all you got to do is open your mind a little bit. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Don't damn yourself, guilty white people, as you should do. You know, because you damn yourself just for anything. You know, you shouldn't do that. Don't damn yourself for that. But it's okay to think about things like this. And I got thinking about this because there's a class at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Oh, for sure. It's called The Problem with Whiteness. And I have a problem with this. I have a real problem with this. Because, again, there are white advantages, white benefits, whatever you even call them. Do I believe in white privilege? No. I don't. Again, privilege to me is I walk into a store, I take anything I want, look at everybody, go, I'm white, and I leave. That to me is the if you know I walk into a store, nobody follows me. Well, that's a little bit of benefit right there. That's the difference I see. And I think once again we've mislabeled things. Which when we do this, when we mislabel things, when we put people under the you know literally against the wall, they're going to fire back. But some of the stuff in this is whites rarely or never question what it is to be white. Of course, no, we're not. Again, we think that everything to us, we wake up in the morning and there's rainbows, unicorns, and $1,000 bills, you know, that we all sleep on. And we wake up and the first thing we think we wake up is, how can I oppress a minority today? Which is wrong, but that's what people think. But some of the stuff they're going to teach in this. And again, you know, one of the things that the professor, Damon Sinjani said, so white people go through life and take it for granted without ever questioning or critically interrogating it. No, I don't interrogate anything. I can question myself as I did today about the blessings that I have. And again, I work hard for my blessings. You know, harder I work, the luckier I get. I tell Jack all the time that. I do work hard. Anthony and I work very hard. Phil works hard. We all work hard. And we are blessed at what we do, and we're blessed to be around each other. It's great, but I can ask myself, what would it be like if I would have grown up black? What would it be like in this situation? What is it like to be a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old whose family has been negatively impacted in some of their own doings, and some of them not their own doings, just society in itself, and you know, and what's it like when you hear, you know, when Jack hears all the positives of the world? What's it like to be a 6-year-old child who's African-American or Latino, whatever, and hear nothing but negative? How does that affect you? You can ask these questions without damning yourself or who you are. And that's where I think the left misses this. But some of the stuff they do, and this is where I don't think that this is right. You know, when you talk about the problem of whiteness, it's some of the stuff, it's crazy that they're asking people. the problem of racism, a problem of whites being racist towards black. Anybody can be racist. Doesn't matter what you're, again, doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter. One of the main goals in the class, they said, will be to understand the race and identity and how it impacts lives on a daily basis. Juxtaposing white privilege, white power, and how the two can be intertwined. The questions, I think, you know what, we can ask questions. The problem is, when you come, rather, they're not asking a question. They're already saying, you're white, you're privileged, you have all of this, your life is wonderful, you've never had any struggles, you don't have any trials, you don't have any tribulations. All of these things are great for you. And because of that, your thought process is you hate anybody who is a color that's not white. They come at it from that. Rather than posing a question, and many things in life, it's the way you pose something. It's not what you say a lot of times. It's how you say it. It's how you say it. When you demonize somebody enough, guess what? They don't want to hang out with you. They push back against that demonization. People are get frustrated at stuff like this. It's okay to have good questions. It's okay to have a great conversation about whites and blacks and race and how we can further get ahead. Not to say that there's not issues in this country, not to say there's not people out there who feel a certain way towards people of color, because we know there is. But we've got to be able to have the conversation. We have to phrase it better so it's a conversation and not accusations, and not an accusatory manner of something. President Obama was on NPR giving a speech. By the way, I don't know if they grow them somewhere. I don't know how, where they, I don't know if they take a test to not have a pulse, but it doesn't matter what they do. They should never announce a sporting event. Here he comes down the street, and he takes a shot, he scores. What a fantastic goal that was. That's what I, Dak drops back the pass. He's got the rush. He throws deep. Bryant catches it. Touchdown, Cowboys. That's what I think it would sound like. But he was on NPR, and Steve Inskeep at NPR was interviewing him, and he talked about something that I think is very real. First of all, about how, understand that there's an uncomfortableness for a lot of older generation when it comes to where we are headed as a country. And I've said this over and over again, and I get this all the time from people, the hate towards me, because I will say this, but this is what President Obama said about us being browner.
The Latino community in America is going to grow. If you stopped all immigration today, just by virtue of birth rates, this is going to be a browner country. And if we're not thinking right now about how we make sure that next generation is getting a good education and are instilled with a common creed and the values that make America so special, we're not going to be as successful. But the good news is we got time to do it.
We are becoming browner. Understand that. We are becoming a browner nation. Makes some people uncomfortable? It does. Because that what we do not understand, we fear, and we fear we lash out. But when it comes to race and when it comes to a lot of things, one of the things that I have said over and over again, and I will continue to do so, the minute we cannot be honest with each other, the minute we cannot have a intellectual dialogue and conversation and even a debate at times with one another is when we are really going to struggle as a nation to grow past many of these things. And political correctness has been, again, another one of these things that people started out thinking they were doing the right thing, but in the end, all they ended up doing was, I think, causing more and more division and anger. And the growth of that has created somebody like a Donald Trump. But he talks about, President Obama talks about political correctness and how it's hurt us.
If you're narrowly defining political correctness as a hypersensitivity that ends up resulting in people not being able to express their opinions at all without somebody suggesting they're a victim, if sort of our social discourse and our political discourse becomes like walking on eggshells, so that if somebody says, you know what, I'm not sure affirmative action is the right way to solve racial problems in this country, and somebody's immediately accused of being racist, well, then you have a point.
Yes. Again, this is our problem in this country. You know, whether it be the whiteness thing and the way that they're coming at it by attacking white people rather than having a conversation, you could rephrase this class or rename this class a discussion of race in America, the pros and the cons, and you could have real open dialogue. But when you put something like this, you know, about whiteness in America and, you know, the problem of whiteness, what you're saying is the problem of white people. Who? But people will take it and they'll feel guilty and they'll feel sad and they'll get pointed out all of the horrible things that have happened in the past and never anything that we've come from and how we've advanced. President Obama said it right there. Now, he said, like, I agree with affirmative action, but he's right. The minute you say, I don't believe in this, you're branded something. It ends a conversation and a dialogue. Therefore, we're not learning anything about each other. And it's embarrassing in this day and age that we are at this point now where the snowflake generation, the politically correct generation, doesn't want to hear anything at all or any other opinion. And when truth pops up their head, and it's ugly at times, honesty and truth can be painful, but it can also be a learning experience. And if we are going to move further in our country and get past these things, then we've got to be able to talk about them. We don't need to demonize one another. We need to discuss. It's as simple as that. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. One's a big dog, and the other one's a wacky dude who ended up in somebody's house. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what?
Speaking of say what, producer Anthony just told me a little while ago that if you were on Mars as of right now next to the rover, you would be warmer than if you were in the windy city of Chicago tonight. -2 on Mars, -5 in Chicago. Chicago! How about them bears? Say woo! By the way, he stands 7'6". He weighs over 200 plus pounds. His favorite snack is an entire roasted chicken, likes some peanut butter and toast as well. His name is Freddie. He is a Great Dane. He is now the world's largest dog, certified by Guinness Book of World Records. Claire Stoneman, who owns him, says it cost her about $17,000 a year to have Freddie. And by the way, do you know what else Freddie loves besides all of those great snacks? Couches. 23 of them he has eaten while he's grown up. As a kid growing up and through most of my adult life, my family only ever had Great Danes. And we have had some 6-foot-plus Great Danes. We had one named Zeus, whose father at the time was the largest. And they're amazing. The problem is they die so fast because their hearts are the same size as that as a Chihuahua. They're not the, they're amazing. They're incredible. And they are just as dumb as the day is long. And they are so sweet. They're like brontosaurus. It's like having a mini brontosaurus rex. Right? It's like having a minibrotosaur. It's just sweet and it's nice. It just eats a lot. It poops and it sleeps. It doesn't do anything else. Like if anybody came in the house, the fear would be that you would trip over your dog running away. That would be the fear of it. Crazy. Say, what? This story is like, here is blackout drunk and it doesn't get any blacker out or drunker than this. So a man hears something in his house. He goes downstairs, Tempe, Arizona, 2:30 in the morning. He hears his 2-year-old daughter crying, only to find every man and woman's parents' nightmare. A person holding your child that you have no idea who they are, and they're in your house. Next thing you know, boom, it's on. They're fighting. He tries to flee. Father eventually catches him, and Oren Aaron Cohen was taken into custody. He said, I'm your friend, before tossing the upset toddler on the couch and ran away. They were in a struggle for about 10 minutes. The 34-year-old Truder was able to finally get out of there. Dad caught him, Police questioned him. This is what he says. They said, look, I didn't sexually assault or perform any engaged or any sexual acts with the victim of this incident. Once I realized that what would happen, I'm horrified. Said I would never hurt a child and does not remember the details because he was so blackout drunk. What he does remember, though, is he remembers playing with a midget that fit the man's description of the two-year-old. He thought he'd scored with a midget. Drinking in that kind of excess is not good, people. By the way, he's been charged with kidnapping, breaking and entering, and a lot of other stuff that will, for all intents and purposes, probably see him not at next year's Christmas party where this debacle probably took place. The Chad Benson Show Facebook. That Chad Benson Show is your tweeter. Your tweeter at me. You can also text the show 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. And by the way, Mr. Oren, they prefer to be called leprechauns. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.